Radio Namaste is brought to you by your host, the blue collar goddess, Sarah Nash, and a small crew of guest personalities determined to amuse, entertain, and occasionally astonish you. And now, Radio Namaste, a different brand of enlightenment streaming live across this galaxy and probably a few more.
Just cracks me up. Hey, Namaste, lovers. It's your very own blue collar goddess, Sarah Nash, as your host, and you're listening to Radio Namaste on the Om Times Radio Network. Welcome to a very different brand of enlightenment. So hit me up on Twitter, okay? That's at Radio Namaste if you're listening in live on the most advanced mobile player on the planet. And don't forget that you don't have to download an app to get live streaming access to this conscious community called Om Times Radio. We host a lot of great shows. You're listening to one now. Yeah, I love patting myself on the back. Anyways, today's guest is a rock star in the realm where many are called and few are chosen, Acharya, aka DM Murdoch. She has devoted her entire life to revealing the solid truth behind religious rhetoric. And I know this. I'm going to introduce her by reading Adam Parfrey's review of The Christ Conspiracy, The Greatest Story Ever Sold, one of her many books. But first, I wanted to point out that this was an historical week in the mailbox of Radio Namaste, because we didn't get a single recommendation for the Father Mulcahy Award or the Namaste Award. Ted, say something. He's rolling his eyes. On the other hand, I have to tell you, there were over 27 Help Me Blue Collar Goddess questions. So I know the forms are working. I checked my spam filter. I checked the forms. I was just like, this is really strange. So what I'm sensing is that there are a lot of people out there. And I know that this is going to sound like, you know, send me some money. So I think what I'm going to do is just offer y'all a discount on some sessions. So set aside a couple of Andrew Jackson's, send them to me via PayPal, and we'll go ahead and have a powwow. Your questions are interesting, all right? But they aren't, should I put an above ground or below ground pool on my property, which is still one of my all time favorite questions. I'm also available for consultations at Om Times Advisors. There's a link on my website at namaste.com too. And if you go to IOM.FM and you are listening to this live, you'll see links there as well. Right now, I am working on the annual online auction at the Labyrinth Society. We're going to go live with that this weekend. It's my volunteer gig. So my time has sort of been wrapped up in getting that off the ground. And speaking of ground, I don't want to waste any more time, because I tend to run over anyway, and I'm anxious to get Acharya on the line. But here's that review by Adam Parfrey. I'm going to go ahead and put on my glasses. Putting on my glasses. It's live theater. Okay. For two millennia, A Spurious Tale has enslaved the human mind and spirit. It still does. Acharya S.'s The Christ Conspiracy may well be the most dangerous and important book of our time, for it reveals beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is not a historical figure, but simply a mythological toehold by which power mongers provide the dope of hope to the needy, malleable, and violent masses. That's Adam Parfrey. He's the author of Cult Rapture and the editor of Apocalypse Culture. I don't know. Acharya, hey.
Well, hello there.
How's the weather out there? Are you under 6 feet of snow?
Yes, I'm lying on a beach. Drinking Mai Tai.
Yeah, I want to lie on that beach and drink a Mai Tai. It's virgin Mai Tai, though. I mean, you know, it's still not quite. Well, actually, it is noon. All right, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah. All right.
Screw the radio show. Let's go drink.
I'm ready for a vacation, because all I do is engage in discussions with people who become angry in 60 seconds.
I know I did for years. You and I bonked heads because I in one of my realities, and let's face it, no two people have the same reality, but I was I'm a recovering Catholic, a recovering Mormon. I'm recovering from religion, period. You know, I have a lot of post-traumatic stress disorders, and, you know, I was abducted by aliens and cults, and thank God I didn't drink the purple Kool-Aid. But anyways,
it must have been the red Kool-Aid.
Yeah, what? It was the orange Kool-Aid. It was gross. Lime. Ew.
Oh, I like lime.
When I first read your book, it made me angry. I have to tell you, one of the reasons that I'm so delighted to have you on this show is because, in spite of my insistence that I knew Christ in a past life and yada yada, you'd pat me on the head and say, "You're adorable. I love you." And here's what I know about you: your ability to maintain your equanimity and to maintain some semblance of enlightenment when people are throwing stones at you, including yours truly here, and try to prove you wrong again and again, and yet you still plug forward.
I am not easily deterred.
So, well, how did you get involved in this controversial field of research?
Well, you know, there's people who have read ChristCon, which was my first book in 1999. That was when it was first published. I began writing the book without actually knowing it.
Is that what your groupies call it? The ChristCon?
A ChristCon.
I need to know this because I want to be a groupie. Okay, go ahead.
I don't have groupies. You have groupies, Blue Collar Goddess. But and let's not forget who gave you that name.
I know. Let's tell the world. Let's tell the world right now. People, the day that I met Acharya through a mutual friend of ours, Arhata, she gave Arhata his name too.
Yes, because he rose in a boat by himself.
So I'm like, "Hi, how do you do? My name is Diva Nandana." Because I was in that phase of my life where I was Diva Nandana. And she looks at me and she's like, "No, you're not. You're more like the blue collar goddess." And you just kind of.
It was not meant in that.
No, but that's how I took it.
It was a derogation.
No, everything you said, I hated all the time. It's like if your mouth was moving, I hated it. It's like.
You know why that popped out of my mouth, which, you know, in your worldview would come from the divine itself. The reason why, because you had this background in the real world that was, it was like kind of blue collar based on the individuals you were associated with at the time.
I was a hooker.
Well, I have no idea about that. Cosmic Hooker, that came. I thought that was a later incarnation, but
I'm talking specifically
at the time. I'm not going to name names and get into personal details, but there, the life you had.
Are you talking about my stupid ex-husband?
Oh, no, I'm not going to go there. But let's just say it was very kind of blue-collar-ish. You know, I could envision a person wearing a wife beater with, you know, a can
of beer.
Okay,
well, now wait a minute. I know you don't watch much television, but right now the reality series Survivor. They've got these three groups of people. They have white collar, blue collar, and the no collar. And so the blue collar folks, right, they're winning, man. They're rocking this shit. So.
Well, yeah, it wasn't a derogation of blue collar.
I didn't know that because I was.
The combination of that mundane reality with your cosmic reckonings was where the name came up. But anyway, so that's how it came about.
And yeah. It is ricocheted in my brain for years, and I'm so grateful to you. I'm grateful to you for a lot of reasons, but there's one of them. So yeah.
But I'd say, you know, I mean, the goddess aspect of it is certainly empowering. But in any event, and that's one of, you know, it all comes back to this what's going on with religion and how it, in fact, derogated the goddess over generations and basically removed the female divine from our psyches and has reduced women to an impossible goal of virgin mother. I mean, that's our icon. That's our archetype that we're supposed to focus on now. But
yeah, have children without sex,
or else you're worthless. But the ChristCon, the whole path I went on, it was also one of initial anger, because when I discovered this information, I too was angry. I felt I had been defrauded, and it's just like, well, what the heck are we? I didn't know this. Nobody's teaching this in our pulpits. Nobody's teaching it in our Sunday schools. They're not teaching the very specifics of Christian origins that I had discovered.
What Nicene Council? What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, that, but that's even later. But I mean, the fact that there is no historical record whatsoever, contemporary historical record for this figure of Jesus Christ of the time, contemporary, And that was just the beginning where, you know, once I discovered that, I thought, well, how can you go around talking like this is some kind of concrete knowledge when, I mean, that was completely shocking to discover that this individual had never been recorded.
I hated you. It was like, why are you showing me this information? I don't believe it. I knew this man. All right. I had a personal relationship and not just like, you know, those born again Christians. I'm so filled with Christ-like love. Let me throw a stone at you. No, I had a personal relationship with this dude. I hated you. No, you're lying to me. This is not true.
Well, you'd have to just go and back and hate a whole pile of people who were involved in putting together this literature that analyzes Christian origins.
Oh, no, but Acharya, people...
mysticist literature.
People want to shoot you. They want to shoot you as the messenger. And right. This is why I admire and love and respect you so much, because you... Dude, like, you just plug on every single day. Every single time I talk to you, you're always so grounded and centered and focused. And you're like, yeah. And speaking again here, grounded, maybe that's the word for today, grounded. We're going to have a break in about 30 seconds or something. I don't, the music is weird. It comes in and it's like really super low. And then it gets really super loud. And my listeners are like, yeah, we get that. So keep talking. I want to know what your religious background is.
Yeah, well, that would take a little more than the 20 seconds or so we have to break.
I know, but everybody's going to be sitting with bated breath.
Toe in the water is that I was born into a Protestant family, so Christian, and it goes back to the 9th century at least, at the latest, Christianity. So I know this ideology very well, and it's in my genetics dating back, over 1,000 years. So, you know, I mean, I can deal with it. I can handle this. I like to say I've come to undo the karma of my missionary forebears.
When I was in Amsterdam a couple of years ago, I actually had a past life memory of being a missionary out there. But I hear the music, so we're going to stop right now and let them talk.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Do you like my music?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, sure.
No, I know Zen Master Ted does. And my little purple unicorn does too. But anyways, we were talking about what your religious background was and you were Protestant, which reminds me of Monty Python. We can use a condom if we wish.
Yes. What? But we've had 2 children and we've only had sex twice.
Bring me a shrubbery.
Every sperm is sacred. Every sperm is sacred. You know, not enough people are wearing hats. But in fact, not enough people are actually watching the old Monty Python movies. And I am concerned that today they would not be made because there are too many religious fanatics running about saying, shrieking blasphemy and sacrilege and phobia this and racism that. And we're under serious threat of losing not only our freedoms of expression, but also our sense of humor. And that really is a crime against humanity.
It is a crime against humanity. And, you know, my biggest thing that I used to, my quote of quotes was, Christ came to earth to teach us about man's inhumanity against man. Now, I have since moved from the reality that I used to once hold dear, or the thought. Okay, remember, I always say faith is something you hold in your heart, and a belief is something that you hold in your head. And I always, always quote Don Miguel Ruiz when he said, you know, hey, listen, but be skeptical. I forgot to listen. I forgot the listening part. I was always skeptical. And if my goal is to reach out and share your message with the people who might not listen to you, but they will listen to me, and I'm going to drag them by their hands gently, flinging glitter along the way. Glitter, glitter, love.
I can be the glitter. That's the thing. You keep forgetting. People don't get past that first initial, you're saying Jesus Christ never existed, you know, infuriation.
But Christ consciousness does.
Well, that, you know, if you have to go there, that's
well, yeah.
But
I mean, come on.
Bed, that's up to you. But that's
it's
not
the frosting, honey. It's the frosting.
Yeah, I don't think so. And not considering what's been happening in the name of Christ for the past 2,000 years,
terrific.
I can't hitch my pony to that card.
I know.
But in any event, check it out. So when you get past that, first of all, the debate should not be framed, Jesus didn't exist. It's fun to say that Jesus never existed. Jesus didn't exist.
But Jesus is a fictional character. He will never love you.
Right. Well, that's a different way of framing it. But what I like to say, rather than getting into the debate of whether or not you can prove a negative, blah, 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 I like to say a positive, which is Jesus is a mythical figure. So first we get into the analysis of whether or not there's any kind of supportive historical or archaeological record for this figure. And there is not. Not anything credible and scientific.
Not at all.
No, these other so-called testimonies late, and when you scrutinize them, they're probably not even referring to Jesus of Nazareth at all.
Nazareth never existed.
Well, there's some skepticism as to whether or not it was a necropolis or if there was any kind of habitation of that area at the time. But it's my contention that it was called that to make him a Nazarene, because that was a sect that was very important in the region and probably contributed to the composition of the gospel story.
Well, so once you start the Essene, the Essenes.
Well, no, the Nazarenes, actually. The Nazarenes were part of a brotherhood, loosely knit brotherhood that was all around the Mediterranean, but the Nazarenes were one particular group. And they, oddly enough, their figurehead god was a carpenter. So this was a guild of carpenters. People are not quite
the original Masons. Does Adam know this?
That's another sect. But people aren't quite aware that when you were involved in a guild, there was often a god, like a smith god, Hephaestus, and these other particular occupations.
These people were not part of fraternities, but continue.
you mean talking about like Animal House? Well, I don't know. But anyway. So there were all these brotherhoods and fraternities and mystery schools and collegia and all this stuff going on all around the Middle East. I mean, of the Eastern Mediterranean in particular. But when you get past that initial shock of saying that Jesus didn't exist.
15 years, people. It took me 15 years. But go ahead. Go on.
The payoff is that this is a mythical figure created in the same manner as all the older mythical figures in different cultures around the world, like Zeus and Dionysus and Osiris.
Oh, those guys didn't exist.
Exactly. That's the point. Those are mythical figures. And this character was made in pretty much the exact same manner. It's called mythography.
Or it's identical.
Craft.
It's nearly identical.
Pretty much. Except for at this point, remember that the Roman Empire had opened up from Ireland to India, this massive territory. So all these different peoples were all kind of coalescing and bringing in their ideas. And so this effort became even larger than before. But this is how, when tribes merged, this is how their gods became embedded with each other. It was one of the other if a tribe was dominant, its god became the dominant tribe. And then the gods of other cultures or tribes, gods and goddesses, were demoted. They'd be like a patriarch or a saint or a demigod or a nymph or, you know, some kind of lesser being under the dominant tribe's god.
It's like a cosmic popularity contest.
Yes, but it's very mundane because it's human beings basically jockeying for position in the name of their gods, which they have created out of their own minds based on their observations of the natural world. And that's the payoff in this, knowing this is a mythical figure. Then we can say, well, where does this myth come from? We can back engineer it, look at all the individual elements of the story. In this, what we're talking about right now is the gospel story. So, you know, say, well, like, well, where's the Virgin Mother concept come from? What does it really mean? What about dying and rising gods, walking on water? All these elements that are easily detached from the story to begin with, which are all the supernatural, miraculous, magical moments. Where did those motifs come from? What are they referred to? And when you start looking at all that stuff, it's absolutely fascinating. And not only fascinating, but important as part of our shared collective heritage on planet Earth. This Earth, this one Earth that we live on, our ancestors were enthralled by being here. They were thrilled by nature. They were frightened by it. It played on their emotions in every which way. The sun rising in the morning, bringing warmth and light to relieve the terrors of the night, was greeted with tremendous joy. And this would be like every day. You wake up.
Well,
and like,
you saw the Croods, right?
What?
Media. Let's talk about the Croods for a second. Did you see that the Disney movie? I think it's Disney. Zen Master Ted is a Disney Croods. I don't know. There's a wonderful animated movie out there called The Croods, C-R-O-O-D-S. It's a Disney or Pixar film. Pixar's Disney, anyway. It's a fabulous, fabulous children's movie based on cavemen becoming enlightened, literally. It's hysterical and beautiful. And, you know, every morning it's like, I'm going to call this tomorrow. And it's dun, dun, dun. People who are listening who understand know. But no, Acharya, one of the points that I want to bring home here, because we're going to, God, my God, break in 5 minutes, Jesus. Literally, Jesus, Jesus. One of the things that I wanted to point out is that you have to remember, darling, your brilliance, all right? We discussed this yesterday briefly. It was like, you have to remember that you represent 1% of the intelligence of humanity on the planet today, okay?
0.1%.
Okay. All right, then. Fine. See? You know, and you're so far removed from what, say, the blue-collar person such as me. I'm bridging the world here, people. I'm the bridge that's going to lead you to the truth, which is, you know, Acharya's holding the scroll there. But, you know, follow Acharya, and this is the way. Glitter, people, glitter.
You're the Bifrost. Asgard.
I think one of the dilemmas that we're facing, and why it's so important that we have these radio shows and that people such as yourself actually deal and actually can communicate with people like me, is that, you know, you live in this scholarly world where people such as myself or you know, even lesser individuals are like, what do you mean Jesus didn't exist? I have to throw a stone at you. I mean, because their brains are numb. Their brains are numb.
But, you know, I was a born again Christian too, so I can relate to where they're coming from. And in fact, it was while I was doing that strange, weird cultic born againism, that I asked Jesus to tell me the truth, show me the truth. And then, oddly enough, within a period of time, a skeptical book essentially fell off the shelf at me called Forgery in Christianity, and that was that was where I was, the anger that you feel, I recognized that because when I started reading this book, I wasn't angry at the author though.
No.
I was like, but
people are angry with you.
This guy took the time to do
boom, things. Right there. I'm going to stop you right there. You were not angry with the author, okay? Yeah. You were not angry with the author because you represent 0.1% of the human population, all right? Now,
I'll accept it. That sounds
And so what we're dealing with here, I mean, I'm pretty fucking smart. Okay. That's a high vibration fuck, by the way, people, but I'm pretty smart. I don't have a PhD, but you know, the bottom line is that I can definitely tell white from black and red from green. And people, please, that's a metaphor. Jeez Louise, some of these messages. Anyway, the thing is here is that you don't get angry with the author, all right? I'm going to bring this back to a little bit of a personal level. We've got a break in 1 minute, geez. People do get angry with you, Acharya.
Oh, yeah.
I did.
I'm got a thick skin.
Yes, you do. And what I want to know is I want, and you know, when we come back from this break, you've had personal relationships with various gods and goddesses. I remember one time you were at a party at Jess Dern's house in Malibu and you called yourself the Buddha. I remember that.
That's good. There's some funny stories with that kind of behavior.
And you've also said that you've had several personal relationships with Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I can do the talk. I can get down on that.
Right?
Well, so yeah, I was born again and I, you know, did the whole thing where you pray. I mean, I was raised a Christian, so it didn't take that much.
You were raised a Protestant.
I protest. I still do.
A lot of people think that Christians, like, are Mormons Christians? Are Protestants Christians? What is a Christian?
Well, anybody who thinks Jesus Christ is a supernatural being.
Okay.
Makes you Christian.
All right. Namaste, bitches. Hey, listen, I think we're going to hear some music in just a second. We'll be right back.
It should be Nashmaste.
Ooh.
Of Conscious Radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
The Conscious Parenting Radio Show provides inspiration and resources for loving, empowering, and respecting your children and yourself. Join me, Timothy, every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we consciously explore proven ways of living together in happiness, health, and harmony.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Katrina Kavanagh, host of the I Am Wisdom radio show. I Am Wisdom is about the connection between mind work and energy work, spirituality, and living a wonderful life. Looking forward to sharing each Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with you.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
I just realized I had my microphone on mute. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. You can hear me, right?
I can hear you.
Okay. It's live radio, folks. You know, this platform stretches all across the globe. We have more listeners globally. We have more listeners on the outside of the United States than we do on the inside of the United States. What does that mean? I just got a message from some guy who said that professors in he spelled it X-I-A-N, that's Z-N. Christian schools aren't smart? #? I was just, well, it had a lot to do with, I was speaking about the intelligence of certain people. So, I mean, you are a formidable presence out there. You're a force of nature, Acharya. And you know, there are people out there who fear you. Why do you think that even vastly intelligent people are frightened?
I'm very scary, boo. Well, you know,
knowledge is power.
The one thing that I have that I did come with here on this planet is an ability to work in languages. So I can draw from ancient texts and go right to the sources myself without a priestly mediator interpreting that for me. Or academic. Yes.
You speak 7 languages.
Well, isn't what I speak, but I've taken in school different languages to that, you know, probably that number. But then since I developed these skills of being able to work in languages, I worked in 20 in the last book, my Moses book. Did Moses exist? The myth of the Israelite lawgiver.
Oh God, now you're taking down Moses too?
Oh yeah, now that book's gotten some pretty good attention actually.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing. When you get past that initial shock that this is not a historical character.
Wait a minute. Okay,
mythical
so
figure.
You took out Jesus. Now you're taking out Moses. That means we don't have the 10 commandments. So what's going on, Acharya? What are you doing to us? All our rules and regulations are going away.
You know, those are all punishable by death. So I don't think that's such a bad thing to get rid of that rot. But
well, everything is punishable by all the food is poison. Everything
just
we're all
living
gonna die.
Is punishable by death.
That's a tweet. Tweet that, Zen Master Ted. Living is punishable by death, and hashtag Acharya's name in that because she deserves that. Living is punishable by death.
Especially if you live well. You have to live terribly, like miserable and suffering. And
no, I want to be happy. Don't you want to be? I'm so tired of not being happy. I really want to be happy.
You know what? I would be happy if people would look at where this stuff comes from so that we can all appreciate our natural world in particular.
That's well, Jesus Christ, our Savior, said, let those who have eyes see and those who have ears hear. But, you know, it's like selective hearing and people with blinders. What are you going to do? I mean, you're one of the things that I admire so much about this woman is I have known her for over 15 years. She is steady as a rock.
Mm.
I admire that. You do not flip-flop. You're not wishy-washy in any way, shape, or form. In fact, you just get angrier and more beautiful. People. She used to be a supermodel, by the way, or not a
supermodel. Model, but
well,
yes.
You were, to me, you're super, but hey, I'm just a groupie.
You know, I had too much personality. In fact,
me too. See, we were talking about that yesterday. We were both models. Yeah, Acharya, you were a runway model. I was too, because...
Well,
and
not
only,
exactly. No, actually, I just did the run-of-the-mill stuff and catalogs. Anyway, I couldn't pull that off because I had too much personality. But
yeah,
so you know, so in any event, it didn't suit my intellect, obviously. But
no,
it hasn't even really helped much with my work because it doesn't seem to impress theologians and seminarians.
Well, you have a vagina, vagina.
That is a big problem.
Yes, it is.
It's suspicious immediately. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
I must be misinterpreting.
For 7 days and doesn't die. Must be, you know.
Well, I must be misinterpreting things because my brain is in a female body, and therefore it can't be accurate. Seriously, that is the block, the wall that I come up against repeatedly. However, my diligence and my inability to be moved from this position have allowed me to at least break down that barrier to some extent. I'm like I'm the woman in the locker room in this subject. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not just like in the locker room. I'm throwing my weight around in the locker room. And I'm saying,
get her out. She doesn't have balls.
No matter how many times you try to personally insult me into your cultic views, I am not vulnerable because I have over here a text in ancient Canaanite that I can draw from to prove my point. And so it's not a question of how many insults we can throw at each other to prove our point. It's a question of what does this ancient text say? And here it's quite clear. And in my Moses book, I really get into these different texts from antiquity, and I show I like to think that I'm able to draw out the most fascinating information for people, and in other words, the get rid of the dross and, you know, bring out the gold. And the gold, again, in these stories, the Moses myth and the Jesus myth, basically much of these stories revolves around the sun, the golden sun, S-U-N, in the sky, our serious Lord and Savior, so to speak, the one that keeps life going on this planet, the one that greets us through after the cold winter and has been the source of countless rituals and myths and traditions around the globe. This is the shiny lining to the clouds of Jesus mythicism, where we're breaking down this fallacious premise of a historical superhuman Jewish Messiah and revealing this lining that is a core mythos that really unifies humanity beyond all these divisive cults with their figureheads, their cult leaders saying, if you're going to follow me, you have to hate your parents. Excuse me.
Or go sacrifice your sons.
Yes, I mean, all that crazy, weird, wacky, cultic stuff.
You're calling it crazy and weird and wacky, and yet for millions and millions of people, this is their card, their calling card to go destroy each other.
And now,
Dr. Boland just pointed out, she said something in God's and Every Man. I just want to read this because it goes straight. I love Dr. Boland, Jean Shinoda Boland. I got to get her on my show, but. The world as we know it is a place where men are shaped by patriarchy to be lonely heroes. Men are expected to leave their mothers and renounce any sameness with them. Fathers are distant and withholding of themselves. Men compete with other men, deny vulnerability, reject what is unaccepted, repeatedly separate from less able companions, and go on. Yeah. Separate from less able companions and go on. And Dr. Boland right now is she's got this the indomitable spirit in every woman. She's the Artemis in every woman, and she's really championing this coming out of the divine feminine. And this time we're not burning our bras. We love our tits, and we're going to cover them. You know, not only that, we understand that we're not going to use underwire bras anymore because that can cause breast cancer. That's my public service announcement. But you know, we're proud of our boobies, and America is this this place that is July, Cancer, America's Cancer, the sign of Cancer, and they're all about boobs. And one of the reasons that I left the LDS Church, the Mormon Church, was because I wanted to become a Melchizedek priest. I'd wanted to become a Melchizedek priest since I was 12 years old. And Joseph Smith ordained Emma Smith as a Melchizedek priest. Brigham Young came along and had his 90 wives or whatever it is. And I love you Mormons, please. I graduated from a 4-year seminary. But the bottom line is they're wrong. And everybody's wrong. And we're all wrong. We're wrong. Everybody's wrong. And, you know, for everything that you say, Acharya, there's 12 professors out there from, again, like this guy who said that professors in Christian schools aren't smart. I'm like, well, that's not what I'm saying, dude. I'm only responsible for what I say, not for what you hear.
Look, they're not smart in the sense that they haven't ventured outside of the box to look into this material that I like to talk about as the massive body of Jesus mythicist literature.
Where did you find all this stuff?
You know, once I found that book, Forgery in Christianity by Joseph Wheelis, it sort of opened up the door to the books that he was influenced by, and then from there
So then you became a gateway drug too.
to the sunshiny happiness. Yay!
No. Listen, are you kidding? You made my life a living hell.
No. No, you gotta be really comprehensive. Let me give you an example. Okay, so if we know that the Virgin Mother is a pre-Christian mythical motif, what does it represent? This is just one example. Absolutely fascinating. If you go back and you look into it, there are a number of different meanings for this motif, and one of them would be the parthenogenetic creation of the cosmos. Parthenogenesis is Greek for virgin genesis, virgin
mother. Thank you. I was just going to say, you're going to have to dumb that down.
Yeah. But if you look at this word parthenogenesis and you find out, well, there's a whole scholarly academic genre and field, it's not so shocking to people. They don't get angry. They're like, oh, virgin mother motif. I see. Here it is. It's in the Canaanite religion. It's in the Mithraic religion. It's in the Dionysus myth. It's in the Attis myth. It's in the myth of Horus and Isis. And before everybody starts freaking out, I have all of the documentation for those claims from antiquity in primary sources. The people who are saying nay, nay, nay to all of this material about virgin mothers and these different gods are not experts. They have not looked at this information. They are scanning encyclopedias and they're just pretending that they know something. They're going to apologist websites. They do not know what they're talking about. They haven't looked at the primary sources. And so once we can get beyond that and accept that this is a pre-Christian motif, we can say, well, what does it mean? Parthenogenic, genetic creation of the cosmos. And on a more mundane level, the Virgin Mother was a dawn goddess who gave birth to the sun, renewed and refreshed every morning. And if you actually go out and watch a sunrise with the rosy-fingered dawn, as Homer put it, you can see where this concept would come from. And it was glorious and beautiful and wonderful and not ethnically biased as it is depicted in the
no, gospel, the sun, right? The sun belongs to everyone.
Yeah. It brings awe to us in those circumstances. Who isn't awed? You go out camping or camping at the beach and you see a sunrise. It's mind-blowing.
Well, you know what else is mind-blowing is that we're at 45 minutes. So we'll be right back.
Yeah.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers live on air every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram @joyofbusiness or Twitter @joyofbusiness and share your pictures with #businessdoneware and joyofbusiness. Let's change the world with business.
Know what to do, just can't figure out how to fit it all into your busy life? It doesn't have to be that way. Hi, I'm Ellen Vaisberg from Seamless Life. Join me every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio and learn the how of conscious living. Let me and my guests help make your life seamless.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
I can't believe that we're like nearing the end of this. It's like, no, I'm having too much fun. I hope our listeners are having fun.
No, it's torture.
No, Are you kidding? Revealing the truth is torturous. It was like pulling a Band-Aid off a gaping wound. I'm like, no, I don't want to see this. Oh, God, she was right. Ugh. You know, for me, it started with Nazareth. It really did. When I began researching, well, we discussed that last summer, but that dude's book about Nazareth, and I started looking at some guy out in Nazareth. They have like a little town there because Constantine was like, hey, we need to build something there. they actually found this old Roman like shower or something, right?
I don't know. I'm not an expert on the archaeology of Nazareth, but I can tell you that in the Greek texts, it's more likely that he was made a Nazarene, and they just said, well, there's a place called that. So they're trying to make him seem like he's coming from a place when, in fact, he's supposed to be the mythical figurehead of a particular sect. We already discussed that.
Yeah, we did. But right. I just, you know, I'm this is about me. It's not about you. God, shut up.
Really? I sent this out to all my followers. I thought they were part of the program.
No, you are amazing. And listen, if you can direct me. Okay, I changed my own mind because I opened my eyes. You know, listen, people, your Lord and Savior said, open your eyes and have ears to hear. Your Lord and Savior is out there. He's everywhere. She's everywhere. And namaste. Let's talk about that real quickly, because that was about languages and things.
Anybody who wants to get my information, go to truthbeknown.com. It's all one word, truthbeknown.com. And stellarhousepublishing.com, again, all squished together, stellarhousepublishing.com. Freethoughtnation.com. And astrotheology.com. Astrotheology is what we discover is the basis of a lot of our religion dating back many thousands of years. And it is basically nature worship, astral mythology, solar mythology, astral religion, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so that's where you can find my information. Now,
the forum at Free Thought Nation, that's where you have your forum, right?
I do.
Okay. I'm very fond of that, by the way. Oh. I get a lot of information off Free Thought Nation. I have one of your t-shirts too. Where can people buy your stuff?
Well, they can get my books at stellarhousepublishing.com.
Okay.
And you know, they're all over these other sites too, but that's really good to know that you're availing yourself of the forum, because we have thousands of posts on there, not just from me. I wish I were that busy, but I'm already exhausted by what I do. But, so this analysis of, you were telling me that you're radio namaste because you have the H in there. People get all freaked out by it. So we were discussing.
Do you know that you spelled namaste wrong?
Well, the first thing you need to respond is that it's a transliteration from Hindi. So it's not, you know, it's a different transliteration than the normal. So that's not necessarily a wrong spelling. And then the other thing is, if you go and you look up this word, namaste, it's a combination of namaha and te, which means you. And namaha means to bow, to salute reverentially, to adore. And so namaha is the original word, and it has an H in it. So you can kind of get away with what you've done.
And, you know, I have to tell you, again, you've disappointed me with your truth. Why do you always do this?
Why is that a disappointment?
I thought it was unique and original, and I thought it was funny because it was like, I honor the lunatic in you as you honor the lunatic in me, or not. Oh. But
all right, well,
it was so revealing, and then you actually sent me the Sanskrit for
Namaha.
Namaha. Mahaha. It was like when Dr. Michel Gudry, Dr. Gudry, he said, no, we don't say Himalayan, we say Himalayan. It's the Himalayan mountains, not Himalayan. We always know that you're a newbie when you say when you're going to Himalaya. It's Himalaya. Okay, I'm just going to have to write this down. Here we go.
All right, now one more time. Listen, that's astrotheology.net. Astrotheology.net.
Astrotheology.net. Astro.
There's some really interesting information about our ancient past. That's what it's all about.
And you know, I encourage people to go look. It's not going to destroy your spirit. It will encourage and sustain your spirit to go look and to read. Form your own opinion, people. Don't
you know, there's an article there about the myth of Jonah and the whale, and suddenly it'll make sense to you and fits in with a bigger worldview than this bizarre tale of.
You know, I think what it is, and I'm just going to bring this back to a place of reckoning for with regard to the paranormal, the metaphysical, the supernatural. It's like it's perfectly okay for people to say that they have seen an angel or that an angel came and spoke to them because, okay, that's cool. But if you say that you've channeled something from an alternate dimension, or okay, suddenly that becomes not acceptable. What we are championing, what I want to do is make it acceptable to seek the truth, because people have this fear within them, Acharya, that you and I have moved through already. We hold the flame and the fire of truth within us. And now I'm, you know, getting on my pulpit a little bit, but what I honor about you is that you are unafraid. You are unafraid, and frankly, I'm terrified. I have been burned, eviscerated, drowned, you know, in so many past lives, whether or not that even exists, I feel as though it does. So I'm validated by my emotional truth. And I honor you so much because you maintain the challenge of revealing the truth. You are a prophet, my dear. I'm telling the world
I know,
you
it's
are
a
prophet.
It's ironic for you to say something like that.
It is so ironic, but you know the dichotomy in there. Well, if it's a paradox, it must be true.
To bring it into the modern day, visionary is not a bad term. And just let's say I see things differently, and if somebody else wants to see what I'm seeing, that's up to them. So there's no compulsion here. You don't have to listen to this. You don't have to read my stuff, but if you are interested in what I am seeing, what I tend to see is much broader and bigger than what other people are seeing. So there's no reason not to take a look. I'm talking globally, what humanity has devised religiously and mythologically dating back tens of thousands of years and applying to numerous cultures around the world. So while some people who are of a particular mindset might get angry, there are many other people in other cultures have come to me and said, you know, thank you so much for talking about our old ways, our pre-Abrahamic religion, culture, mythology, language, everything that has been overcome by this foreign invader mentality and ideology. Mm-hmm. For example, Native Americans, Alaskan Natives.
Oh my God!
I have a friend who's an Alaskan Native, and what Christianity did to them was just—it's unbelievable. And so I have tried to encourage.
And that's modern times, people. This is
modern
times.
Yeah, that's only within the last 100 years or so, and that's why the Alaskan story is even more appropriate. For one thing, you don't hear all kinds of horrible tales about Alaskans scalping people or having wars, or so. This is a really kind of
speak of the Comanches again.
Comanches, right? This is a really kind of peaceful, very communal group of people who had lived for thousands of years on their own, and they just within my lifetime have had their culture turned on its ear. And now they might enjoy the technology that comes with their integration.
What are you working on now? I don't mean to cut you off because it's actually I've got like 2 minutes and I need to introduce next week's guest. But what are you working on right now? What's your next project or
right now I'm reviewing a book on Moses by one of my colleagues, Robert Price, and it's got some similar information as my book on Moses. And great minds think alike. So
when are you going to publish a memoir just about you? And I mean, like people want to know about what you really, I mean, this Native American thing, I didn't know this about you. And you and I talk often. I know that you're, you know, very, very concerned about the Islamic.
Yeah, it's all that too.
Yeah. Well, and listen, pollution. We could keep talking forever. Yeah. I got like 2 minutes left and I got to talk about Sayward.
No problem, hon.
I would love to have you back. Will you come back?
Of course.
Can we wrap again? That would be so
We could
awesome.
Talk for 10 years. Probably.
Good Lord. Maybe we should do like a television show or something. All right. Hey, thanks. I appreciate
All right, take care.
You Bye. Rock. I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
Thank you for opening my eyes, leading me to the truth.
Yeah.
And gratitude to our sponsor, Alchemy Stones from alchemystone.com. Hey, how's that? Zen Master Ted. Woo, that was like so professional. We have a really wonderful selection of incredible art at Alchemy Stones. And we give them to the recipients of the Namaste Award. And now we know a little bit more about Namaste. So if you're looking for a really great gift for Mother's Day, or something to put in your Easter basket, if you, you know, because I love ritual and tradition. You know, I think some of us are afraid to give up our truth because we like to hold on to ritual and tradition. You know, you can still celebrate whatever it is that you want to celebrate just for the, you know, it's like watching the sun come up in the morning. Yay. So, you know, by the way, if you can get free shipping in the continental U.S. for your Alchemy Stone. And overseas, our listeners are going to get a 15% discount. Next week, Sayward Air, she's going to be our featured guest on next week's show. She had three separate close encounters with beings that appeared to be aliens. And I've met Sayward. In fact, she's going to be hanging out this weekend for a crop circle thing that the local MUFON, that's the Mutual UFO Network, coordinator out here. She's having a conference, a gathering, something with regard to crop circles, and Sayward Air is actually coming. So I'm going to get to hang out with her again this weekend, and we're going to talk about next week's show. She, with her close encounters with these aliens, she actually, what she found was really exciting and disturbing and really terrifying. And again, like Acharya, Sayward has credentials, right? She's an archaeologist. Hey, thanks for joining us. This is a great show. I can't believe it's been an hour. See you next week.
Conscious Lifestyle on steroids.